I want to talk to you today about the danger of the when and then. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Deuteronomy 8, 7. If you found it, say amen. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land, a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines, and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. When and then. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee and do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and might and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The danger of when and then. My friends, my Christian brothers and sisters, we are what we are by the grace of God alone. Grace, how sweet the sound. Unmerited, undeserved favor. You know how you spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. The Bible says the Word was in the beginning. All things were created by the Word. And then in John chapter 1 it says, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word was full of grace and truth. Grace. God's grace. Amazing grace. Years ago, I saw it, and I saw it clearly. And I know it was revealed to me. And I began to name everything grace. I bought a farm. I named it Grace Knoll. I had our firstborn girl. I named her Grace. We came to Michigan and we started Grace Gospel Fellowship. Got over to Pontiac Rescue Mission. That name wasn't good. We changed that name to Grace Centers of Hope. Those aren't accidental changes. Those are on purpose changes. The great tendency of the people of God is to forget the pit from which you were digged. We forget it on a daily basis in dealing with others. You wouldn't have enough sense to play the radio were it not for the grace of God. Everything that you are and everything that you have and this glorious salvation is because God's been good to you and for no other reason. I want you to say with me, I didn't deserve it. A lot of times when I'm preaching, instead of saying amen, just say that. I didn't deserve it. When we're talking about grace, just say it. I didn't deserve it. Because we cannot forget how many times in the Bible are we exhorted not to forget. Not forgetting will give you patience, daily patience with other people. When I'm dealing with people who have done the worst, even against me, I have to remember that I did my worst against God, and yet He was gracious. There's no one that I see, because I know I didn't deserve it. There is no one that I see that I believe has gone too far and done too much to stop the grace of God from reaching them. Me and the Apostle Paul, we're going to have a little chat when I get to heaven. I got to talk to him about this matter. He said he was the chief of sinners. I believe I'm the chief. Do we have any chief of sinners in here? You see, if you don't think you're chief of sinners, you don't get it yet. If you think you're better than somebody else, you still haven't got it. You still don't understand this matter of the grace and mercy of God. You never look down on another human being when you understand and know your own wretchedness. You young people that are here, you've been saved by the grace of God and doing pretty good in society, getting along, buying a new house, getting a new car, making good money. Forget not thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Lord's Supper. Why was the Lord's Supper given? And what are we to do when we observe the memorial supper? This do in remembrance of me. Don't forget what I did for you. Don't forget it. Don't get all puffed up about yourself. The grace of God. When thou hast eaten and are full, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You got up this morning. Bless the Lord. Should have been dead sleeping in your grave. Should have died in your sleep. Should have had a heart attack. You're overweight. Smoking like a sieve. Should have died last night. But God kept you alive. Amen. Some of you have used and used and used and used and used for years. And yet here you are in your right mind sitting in the house of God. When thou hast eaten and are full, right now is the time to praise Him. While you're full, praise Him. When it's good, and you say, God's been good to me. Oh, yes, when you're in good health and you're getting your life back, that's the time to praise Him. When you're full. But the tendency is, when I'm full, I begin to take credit. Oh, yes, Quentin, God could have left you under that bridge. He could have left you under the I-75 bridge and never looked your way. He could have let me die and go to hell sitting in a church pew. The truth is, no difference between Quentin and I. I was a self-righteous preacher's kid. He was under the bridge. But both of us deserved to go to hell because we were depraved sinners. It's very, very true. Some of you in here, you're visiting with us. It took a little bit of bravery for you maybe to drive over to Pontiac. And especially to come to a church that's filled with former addicts. Oh, the truth is, we're no different than you. When you come from Birmingham, you just have one sinner leaving Birmingham, coming over to Pontiac. That's all you got. Amen. There is no difference how uppity-schmuckity we get. Grace. God's grace. Wonderful grace. Marvelous grace. Darren said last night, you know what you're going to preach tomorrow? I said, same thing I preached last Sunday. Same thing I preached the Sunday before. God's amazing grace. When and then. Don't forget it. There was a time when you were in your Egypt. There was a time when you were down there in Lodibar. And you were crippled on your feet. You couldn't walk. You'd been messed up in the fall like Mephibosheth. His nurse was running with him and she fell fleeing the enemies of the king. And when she fell, she dropped the baby and it crippled him. And he grew up a cripple down in Lodibar, the place of no pastures. Some of you have families that have never known God, do not know God, and they brought you up in Lodibar. They crippled you. They abused you. But you're not in Lodibar no more. You're not in Lodibar no more. You're here. In your right mind, working. Yes, some bad things happened to you. But God, in grace and mercy, brought you out of your Lodibar. And now you're sitting at the king's table. You're sitting at the king's table. How marvelous is that? Oh, some of you have been down there in the hog pen. There are many prodigals here in this building. Down there in the hog pen. But grace and mercy sucked you out. Went down to the hog pen where you were. Mercy came calling. And grace pulled you out of the hog pen. Isn't that something? And brought you all the way back home. It didn't just come to you. It was a revelation from God. And you said, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say to my Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. That's mercy. Here's grace. The Father said, embracing him and kissing him, said, it's party time. My son which was lost is now found. My son which went out has now come home. Let's have a party. You were in the valley of dry bones, very parched. You weren't a halfway sinner. You were very parched bones. Dried out by the sun and sinning. No hope for you in self. Just laying there. And one day, the prophet came and began to preach to dry bones. You wandered in here, parched, skinny, scrawny, stinky, dirty, out of your mind. And this preacher began to preach. And the bones began to shake. What's happening? What's happening here? A miracle of God's grace. And the bones came together. You started getting things together, it looked like. You just stayed and stayed and stayed and didn't run off. Oh, you thought about it. But something kind of held you. The bones began to come together. And the prophet said, something happening there. And the prophet kept on preaching the old gospel. And pretty soon the bones came together and flesh came on the bones. And before you know it, fresh wind from the throne of God called the Holy Spirit blew upon those bones and there was life. Amen. And now you're alive. That's the grace of God. Once you were out in the field, laid out there, your mother and your father were both heathens. And when you were born, you were put out there in the field. You were not swaddled or cleaned. You were just laid out there, destitute to yourself in the open field like the babe in Ezekiel 16. And God Almighty came walking by. And there you were, open to the lion and the tiger to be swallowed and eaten up by the evils of this world. But God came walking. And it was a time of love. And God looked upon you and said, live! Let's turn over there and read that in Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, where the babe was laid in the open field. I want to read it to you. In verses 1 and 2 and 3, it talks about this baby's father and mother. Your father was a Canaanite and an Amorite and a Hittite and all the otherites. And as for thy nativity, verse 4, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither thou washed in water to supple thee, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do thee any good. But the truth is, there was one eye that pitied thee. Verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord thy God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with bordered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. He does it all. Now look at verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. When? When you're full, when you're blessed, when God's being good to you, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. I want you to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. I want to push this just a little further. The dangers of when and then. Deuteronomy chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. Not if he brings you into the land. When? He's going to bring you into the land. Just hold your finger there. I'm going to read from Exodus 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you out of the hog pen. I will bring you out of Lodibar. I will. I'm going to bring you out. Let me tell you, folks, if you're one of the brought out, He brought you out. You didn't walk out on your own. He brought you out. You're as dumb as a rock, separate apart from the Holy Spirit of God. You see no beauty in Christ that you should desire Him. He brought you out. The only reason you see the footprints of one person is because He was carrying you. I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. You're not a crackhead anymore? Praise God. Praise Him. You don't use heroin anymore? Praise Him! Praise Him! You were in bondage. Praise Him! You're not what you once were? Praise Him! And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you. I'll buy you. I'll purchase you. And I won't do it in a skimpy way either. I'll do it with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. I'm going to redeem you in power. I'm going to buy you. I'm going to purchase you. You know you're bought? Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know how expensive you are? Do you know what it costs God? Do you know how much God must love you? Have you ever just thought about this? That God loved you so much to purchase you with the blood of His own Son. So when? Don't forget. You've been in your right mind now for 2 years? 3 years? You've been 7 years clean? Don't take any of the praise. No, no. Praise Him more. In fact, if you've been clean 7 years, you ought to be on your feet right now shouting, glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen. I will take you to Me for a people. You're My people. You're Mine. You ever had anybody that you're in love with say this to you? You're Mine. You are Mine. Sounds kind of sweet, doesn't it? You know what God says to you? You're Mine. You're peculiar. You're not a bunch of oddball. You're just peculiar. You know what makes you peculiar? Because I chose you. Folks can't figure you out. Folks go like this. How did he become a Christian? I remember him when he was a crackhead. What's he doing in church? Peculiar. People look at you under the bridge. How'd you get out here? The grace of God. And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I swear to give it to you. You know what? He not only brought you out, He's going to take you in. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. There's a place called heaven. Out of Lodibar, out of the hog pen, out of the valley of the dry bones, into the presence of Emmanuel's land. Called heaven. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more death. That's what God's going to do for you and for me. Isn't that great? So don't get puffed up when life does get better after you're converted. Well, it's got to get better. Because you don't do nearly as much evil as you used to do. You know why? Because you have a check now. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Oh yeah, your flesh is still a wild ass's colt that's bucking and snorting, and you still have those desires. But there's a check in there called the Holy Spirit of God. You no longer love sin. No, you don't. I didn't say you didn't commit it. I said you don't love it. You're like the Apostle Paul. I'm still wretched. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate, that do I. I'll be glad when God gets me out of here. I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. This is the future of a Christian. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. I haven't forgot that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land. I love the shalls of God, don't you? I hate this maybe so religion. Are you going to make it? Maybe. You going to make it? I'm doing my best. I'm a trying. I can remember I was in a little church in Foxport, Kentucky. It was really one of the first churches that I ever got thrown out of. That's where I got my first trophy. My first scar for preaching the gospel. You know, the gospel's controversial. Because the first message of the gospel, the first message from the cross is this: man is sinful. Do you know people don't like to be called dirty, rotten worms? And when I was at Fox Sports, the first night they sang, "If anyone makes it, surely I will." So, in my youth, first thing I did, I had to take the song apart. If anyone makes it, surely I will. I'm going to tell you, if you have that attitude, something wrong. When God blesses you and you're in a good space, that's the time to praise Him. Don't begin to think that you did something to get you where you are. Dangerous. It's dangerous. Verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. So the Lord's going to give you victory over your enemies. Smite them. You shouldn't be afraid of heroin. Heroin ought to be afraid of you. Amen. God doesn't want you to be this puny little weak Christian. And as you grow in the gospel, there's some power there, brother. Oh no, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You don't have to be afraid of the crack man. But yeah, you're going to be up if you don't get out of here. Look at verse 6. If you read from Deuteronomy 7, 1 and following verses through verse 5, it tells you several things. One of those things is that believers are not to marry unbelievers. You guys, if you've been saved by the grace of God, don't be looking for a babe who's not a believer. Amen. Believers are to marry believers. Well, I'm going to change him. It won't be long till you'll be stealing his pot and smoking it. Well, you don't change anybody. I don't change anybody. God is the changer. You're not going to change anybody. If I marry him, he's going to change. She's going to change. Yeah, you'll find out all kinds of things. The hair comes off, the teeth comes out, all kinds of things. Things are going to change, all right, but it's not like you think. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. And the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. But destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Do you know what I do every Sunday here? I burn the images. I burn the false gods. I mean to burn them. I mean to light the match, to burn them, to destroy them. Free willism. Good works. Trying to get yourself to heaven by your work. Joining the churchism. You're a Baptist. You're a Catholic. You're a Methodist. Hell's going to be filled with Baptists and Catholics and Methodists. The only people that go to heaven are people who know Jesus Christ. When people ask you, what are you? Say, I'm a Christian. I used to say, I'm a Baptist. And people would go like this. Oh, you don't dance? Oh, you don't smoke? Oh, you don't play cards? And now I say I'm a Christian. They go, wonder what that means. Or they say something like, aren't we all? No, we're not. We're not all Christians. Christians are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is all. I will not put my church, my denomination, my baptism, my good life, my works, Christ, 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 Christ. That's the answer. Deuteronomy 7:6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Isn't that something? You ever just thought about this? Don't think about anybody else. Just think about you. Why would God choose me? Why would God choose me? Now, if you're here and you believe in this universalism, that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody and God's trying to save everybody and Christ died in vain for some people and blah, 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 this won't mean anything to you. But if you are a sovereign grace person here and you have read the Bible, Ephesians 1:4, according as God hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, if you have been there and you began to contemplate this, that God chose you, why? And that He chose you before the foundation of the world. Why would He choose me? That means He saw everything I would ever do. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So that means I never did do any good thing. Somebody said, well, but He saw you were going to believe. No, you never did do any good thing. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is a good thing. But God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if any did good or seek after Him, and He said there was not a one. So why did He choose you? You didn't seek Him. You didn't hunger and thirst after Him. You didn't want Him. Why would He choose you? Just let that, you know, like cooking beans, you got to let them simmer. Just let that simmer a little bit. Just go like this. Now would be a good time to say I didn't deserve it. Then why did He choose you? Because He's sovereign. Can God save whomever He will? Does God owe anybody anything besides judgment? No. Can God pass you right on by and still be God? Will it affect God if He just passes you by? No. No. Will He lose any of His power if He never looks your way? Why do you think that in the Bible, the blind man cried out the louder after the disciples said, shh. And he cried the louder, Thou Son of David, have mercy. I love that story. And the Bible said, the Lord stood still. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. And He stood still. The Syrophoenician woman, nipping at the Lord's heels like a puppy dog, just nipping, nipping, nipping. Have mercy, have mercy. The disciples said, get away, woman. And she just kept on. She just kept on. And finally the Lord said to her, dog woman, you dog, you're a Gentile dog woman. She said, the puppy dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The Lord calls you a dog. You're going to go off insulted or are you going to bark? If the Lord calls you a dog, bark! Because He knows what you are. I'm a dog. Yes, I'm a Gentile dog. But remember those little puppies, Lord? They get the crumbs. This is where the people of God need to be, right here. when you're full and fat with the blessings of God, when He saved you by His grace. Don't get to thinking you're something. Just remember, you're a dog, but you're a puppy dog, and you're getting the crumbs that falls from the Master's table. God's been good to everybody in here that's been saved. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people. Verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. In the Corinthian letter, the Apostle Paul said, God has chosen the nobodies. You know, I just suspect somewhere back in the back of the church here, every Sunday, that there's one of those nobodies here that God has chosen. You comb your hair funny. You dress odd. You look different. You're just a nobody. The world thinks you're odd. People don't want to be around you. You're a loner. You got your hair green, red, or purple. Just so you can get a little attention. And you don't know and have not known until you came in here that there is a God of mercy and grace. That there is just the possibility, since you're here, that you could have been brought here. That you had a destiny to be here. That there was an appointment for you, green hair. With one long earring and a bone in your nose. God all the time was letting you run downhill until you were out of gas. Nowhere to go, nowhere to live, nothing to eat, no clothes to put on your back. And you ended up at a homeless shelter so God could tell you how much He loves you and has loved you from the foundation of the world. Only weirdos get saved. All weirdos are chosen by God. The off-scouring, the throwaways, the nobodies. I've got good news for nobodies. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I know you're sitting out there and you're going like this. And could it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? Died He for me who caused His pain? My mama didn't love me. My daddy didn't love me. I've been in foster care homes all my life. I've been kicked around. I've been physically abused and sexually abused. Could it be that God loves a wretch like me? I want to tell you, if you're asking that question, you're loved of God. If you're contemplating that, you are in the embryo stage of conversion. You're on your way to Jesus Christ. It's very, very true. And as you attend here, what I'm going to do is go like this. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, him or her that cometh to me, shall in no wise be cast out. Do you know what that means? You're sitting back there shaking a little bit. Could it be? Could it be? What if I come and he humiliates me? He turns thumbs down on me. Come, sorry rascal, just as you are without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I promise you today, if you'll come to Christ without moving a muscle, right where you are, just as you are, come to Christ in all of your mess, just as you are. He will not turn thumbs down on you. He will not. I'm not talking about coming up front. because I think your green hair is weird. I'm not talking about you coming to me. I'm talking about you coming to Christ. He will accept you with your green hair. He will welcome you, pardon you, cleanse you, relieve you, rest you, and give you peace. Just come in all of your wretchedness, fling yourself upon the mercy and grace of God, and say this in your heart, "Here I am. Save me or damn me. Save me or damn me." No sinner has ever bowed at the feet of Jesus Christ and said, "Save me or damn me," except He saved them. Very, very true. I long to see the day when everybody in church has out the white flag. I surrender. I've tried Dr. Church, and I've tried Dr. Baptism, and I've tried Dr. Good Life. And still here I am in all my mess. I'm going to bow to Jesus Christ. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to lay the shotgun down. Some of you, you're still packing that .38. You hate everybody. My life sucks. I have no friends. The people around me I don't like. I can't count on them. The government's no good. I lost my welfare check. And God is fit. Why don't you just lay the 38 down? Because it's going to get worse if you don't. It's only going to get worse. You are already defeated. This world will take you and give you a beating. You will not win. You're going to go through life bitter. And if God doesn't do something, you may use that 38. If I were you and I was angry, I'd just lay that 38 down at the feet of Jesus Christ and say what you know to be the truth. I'm a mess. And I can't help myself. But I know You can help me. I know You're a mighty God. And I do know this, and I know I qualify. You've said, if you're a sinner, come to me. And I'm coming, just as I am.